So many people fear death and the other side of life. How can we come to an understanding that we're part of both worlds? And that it all continues, not to fear it.
I've been asked that many times, and because of my association with the late Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who wrote the book called On Death and Dying, which I think is used in most medical schools on Earth as required reading, I was able to look at what we call death in a different light. In fact, one of the things that Elizabeth said to me once was, you know, John, I am not scared of death. He is an old acquaintance. I have met him many times. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a beautiful little statement. Another one was when Richard Bach once said, if life is, death is not. Mm-hmm. But later on I was to understand a little bit more about that. And we fear it because it's like the unknown. We don't know what's there. It's puzzling. And that's why they have the common saying, fear of the unknown. But once I was having a conversation with another old friend, Dr. Deepak Chopra. Deepak and I go way, way back, and we had crazy conversations, and one of them was...
I can imagine.
He said, you know, John, many people are afraid of the unknown. It's not the unknown they should be afraid of. They should be afraid of the known if they want to be afraid. The unknown is exciting and unmade yet. Physicists, quantum physicists, are telling us that now. And so it is because we just have this feeling of loss, total loss, when someone is physically gone from us. And yet, if we look at it slightly differently, or as we evolve into a higher order of human being, we will notice it's no different from when I left that country as a teenager, as a young man. I wasn't even in my 20s when I left Guyana. And I got on that plane, and I was going into a foreign country, and I was going to go to university and study and do something and go back and work or bring my family with me or whatever it is. But here's the funny thing, Terry Marie. When I got on that plane, I knew that I wasn't going to see my parents for quite a long time, probably years, because in those days we flew propeller. My first flight was on a propeller plane. Jets were rare. This is to say how old I am, how far back I go. Well, when I waved a goodbye and tears in my eyes and my first week at the university, I missed them so much. I missed the little village. I missed my brothers, my sisters, my family, my friends, my dad and mom especially. They couldn't see me. I couldn't see them. There was no telephone in the village. The only telephone was like half an hour away, and one telephone, and it was always busy, and half the time it wasn't working, and you had to walk for hours to get there. I couldn't call them. I couldn't talk to them. There was no internet. But guess what? I knew they were there. I'd write them letters, and it took 2 weeks for the letter to go by airmail to them. And they'd reply, and it took 2 weeks for the letter to come to me. So if I wanted an answer to my letter, it would be 2 weeks going, 2 weeks coming. That's a month. But yet I had a feeling they were there. I didn't see them. I wasn't afraid that they had gone away, that I had lost them forever. Isn't it a little bit similar to this thing we call death? Where Mardai left, she's gone to that far country. I hear from her in dreams, and I probably on quiet evenings when I sit on my back porch and think of her or look at a star up in the skies, I could say, you know, I feel her presence. I know she's there. No different than the physical one where I left my folks and went to a far country. And if we start looking at death as this, we might not be afraid of it that much anymore. It's not a loss. It's just they have gone on, and I certainly will be going there later. I'm not in any hurry to do that, you see, but we all eventually will do that.
Well, it's part of the journey.
Yeah.
It's part of the journey we knew we were going to get into, I guess. And I want to bring up one more thing. You gave me two wonderful quotes on death and the transformation process?
It has something. I never remember my own poems. I never remember my own quotes. And I got to read my books again to know what I wrote about. But it had something to do with when I die, I shall leave my trail in stardust. Something like
right,
that.
It was something beautiful like that, and then it was another one about the caterpillar.
Yes.
And the butterfly, yes. And just worded so beautifully. So before we wrap this up then, John, is there anything else you'd like to tell people about the afterlife, or this life, or any life, before we go?
I think we all come to a feeling and a conclusion, if you will, about what it is. And rather than deal with the before life or the afterlife, I'd like to touch on this one, because if we do a great job with this life, we don't have to worry about the afterlife. It will be brilliant and beautiful, as it is supposed to be, as this one is supposed to be. So my only thought about what we're doing here is to remember that this is a journey. It's a journey that never ends. It actually never began. We were just born here at a certain time, in a certain place, and then we continue for a number of years, hopefully, and then we leave here and we continue. I'm really a fan of Star Trek, The Next Generation, where this mystical super being Q turned to Jean-Luc Picard, the captain of the Enterprise, and listened as the captain says, "Now I get it. We have taken care of this. It has ended." And the majestic being said to him, "You just don't get it, Captain. You just don't get it, Picard. It never ends."
Right.
And this one never ends. It changes. So what we do while we're here, there are some magical, mystical secrets. One is to practice loving. Not love because somebody deserves it, but love because we deserve it. We have to practice forgiving. Don't forgive people because they deserve it. Heck no. Many times don't deserve anything. So you look them in the eye, in your mind's eye, and say, "I forgive you, not because you deserve it, but because I do." To practice compassion, to care. All these things are invisible. You can't see them. You can't see love. You can't see forgiveness, talking about the invisible world. You can't see any of these things. You can't see compassion. To practice these things and to live life as brilliantly as possible so that today is a little better than yesterday and tomorrow will be a little better than today. There is no competition. The only competition you have is yourself of yesterday. And if we live that and live life to the fullest, I think we don't have to worry about any other life, because we discover very quickly that this is the one we've got.
And right now, and living it in joy.
Yeah.
John, it has been such a great privilege and pleasure, as always, to speak with you and hear your wonderful insights and how to enjoy our time on this little planet together. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure, and I really am delighted that I had a chance to speak to people.